This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's black bean burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
We work hard at being healthier.
One, two.
And what we really need is better quality sleep. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed intelligently senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. This is not a bed. It's proven quality sleep. It's the biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus special financing only for a limited time. To find your local Sleep Number store, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Hey everyone, it's Tony. Before we get into tonight's show, I just want to remind you once again to go to your favorite podcatcher, hit subscribe, and leave us a happy review. You know those happy reviews help us rise in the charts so more people can enjoy the show just like you. When you're done doing that, go to Facebook and Twitter and give us a follow and a like. We also have a new Facebook fan page where you can join the conversation about these shows. I would really encourage everybody to go join that group. If you want to be on the show, there's two ways to go about doing that. You can either email me directly at theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com, or you can go to the website, which is theconfessionalspodcast.com. Go to the connection section and you can email me that way as well. I really hope everybody enjoys the show.
I shoot the lights out until it's bright out. Oh, just another lonely night. Are you willing to sacrifice your life?
Staying in the shadows. It's called probing. Make sure things are all clear.
Clear for what?
For the rest of the rest.
You guys hear that?
He's out there.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Tony Merkel, and I'm really glad that you're here. Before we get into the interview, I want to give a quick shout out to Mystery Podcast. Mystery Podcast is an awesome show that goes into short stories of mysterious things. The host is John Fite, F-I-T-E, Fite. He's doing a great job narrating these stories and sharing them with the public so people can enjoy them as well. My favorite story so far was the story titled The Coma. That story is jaw-dropping, and I absolutely enjoyed listening to it. I busted through all those episodes this week, and I encourage you to go and listen to it as well. Now, tonight's show, we're going to bring on Art. Art, back in 1982, saw a UFO one night when he was with his girlfriend. What he saw was very, very big and very, very close. Let's bring on Art and talk to him about what he saw that night. Hey, Art, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm really glad you took the time to speak with me. I know we kind of connected randomly on Facebook. I believe you were commenting in a thread that I was commenting in, and you mentioned that you had an encounter, and I just, my ears perked up, and I contacted you, and we kind of exchanged information and stuff. I'm really glad that you agreed to come on the show and share your story.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, you have a UFO encounter story, and I want to jump into that right now. So, let's just start. Where was this? What year was it? And just take us right into the encounter.
Well, it was in 1982, and this would have been North Fort Myers, Florida. We were just moving into a house right off of 41. I think some folks know it as Tamiami Trail. And it's just short of the Coosawhatchie River. And the electric hadn't been turned on in this house. We had just rented it. And so it was late at night, and it was hot. And we were in the car. We had went and got a couple sodas and sitting there listening to the radio. And I seen a light off in the north. And it went from the left to the right at great speed. And it went, I don't know if you've ever used an Etch-a-Sketch, but it went a straight line, drop, straight line, come back up, and it did this in no time at all. So I told my girlfriend, I said, look how that's flying, and she said, oh, that's a helicopter or something. Well, I know that there is no helicopter that can do that. So I didn't pay any more attention to it. And I imagine within 30 seconds to a minute, our entire area just lit up very bright, blinding bright. I heard a power chunk. And the light went back off. And as I looked back to the north, I seen three white disks, what I thought was three white disks. And as it came closer, I seen it was a black triangle. And I was just in the perfect place. I was right where I could see the sides of the triangle in the front of it. And as it passed directly over my head, I lost sight of the sides of it, but I could see the whole underside of it. And I looked dead up into one of those globes. And I seen some stuff up in those globes and a lot of detail across the bottom. And it passed very slowly, dead silent, and it was huge. And it went over the river and into some thunderheads there in South Fort Myers, some big storm-type clouds. And there was a bright flash then, too, but I don't know if that was from the clouds or from this UFO. But that's pretty much, the whole thing.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. You said that you saw a bright light. Was it like a flash?
No. I heard a very loud power crunch, and it just lit up blinding bright, and it was an engulfing light. It wasn't like light, like you turn your light bulb on in your living room. It was a kind of different.
What do you mean by different? Was it like the way the light looked, or was it the way the light reacted to the environment? How would you describe it?
I can't recall seeing shadows from this. And even when the vehicle passed overhead, it had three globes at each point. And I don't remember seeing any shadow from that. How when a light passes over something, it passes at a different angle and you'll see the shadow move. And, I didn't see that.
Okay. Now, you said about the power jump. Could you describe that a little bit more? Like, I'm not exactly sure. What do you mean by that?
It's if you threw some switch on, like in the movies where the mad scientist throws the thing to fire up the electric this or that.
Right.
But this was real heavy. This had a lot of bass to it, when it did it. It was like a really curved chunk, And which tells me it's some kind of energy to do that, some kind of, I don't know what it would take to do that because this thing's bright. And that only lasted for, 30 seconds maybe, and it went back off.
Okay. Now, you mentioned these globes. Could you describe those a little bit more?
Well, like I said, I looked dead up into the first one, and the globe, you know, it's a concave globe, and it glowed white. But up in the flat part was tubes, and these things are like geometrically perfect. And you see that they elbowed up into the surface, but they were just lined up through there, and they were glowing. They were glowing like a, I don't know, like amber, like beer or something like that, carnival glass or something of that nature. And but you could see them both. You could see the globe was glowing white, and you could see those things were glowing kind of goldish.
Wow. So
it's very strange.
Yeah. So the globes were glowing white, and you said these tubes were more of a goldish color?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, were the tubes connecting to the globes?
No. One didn't touch the other.
Okay. Was this all underneath the craft as it was passing over?
Yes, it was. And of course, I couldn't see the other two globes because they were at the, you know, two widest. They were at the widest part in the back, but I did look up in that front of them.
Okay. How high was it off the ground?
Well, the Australian pines there at the driveway, I'd say they had to be 45, 50 feet. And this thing was maybe another 40 feet, 50 feet above that, you know, for a guesstimation.
Okay.
100 feet.
100 feet off the ground?
Yeah, yeah.
And it passed right over you?
Right over me. Dead over me. There's nobody can convince me that, you know, I was seeing anything other than what I'm telling you.
Sure. Now, when it passed over you, did you feel anything physically? Did it affect you at all?
You know, I've heard a lot of stuff about people getting radiation burns and feeling, you know, static and all this, but there was nothing. I know he, you know, the only thing that was disturbing about this was the blinding light that they had put on. Other than that, nothing, no. And I've seen nothing that I would, well, there was no windows when, you know, looking at it when it was first coming at me, being able to see the kind of the front of the triangle. And I didn't see anything that I would describe as a weapon either, that I would know as a weapon. You know, no gun turrets and, you know, laser cannons and all that stuff.
Sure. Now, the light, you said it was a blinding light. Now, was it something that had residual effect on you? Did it affect your sight after the event at all, or was it just in the present?
No. When it went off, it was just fine. You know, I could see fine.
Okay. Now, you said your girlfriend was in the car, right?
Yeah, well, she was out. You know, when we seen it, we'd both gotten out of the car and was looking at it.
What'd she say after that happened?
She didn't know what to say. She said she felt that it was something military or, you know, something of that nature or some government project. And I'm looking at her and I'm going, you know, I don't think so, because I just don't think. It's 1982. We were listening to cassette tapes and, you know, that kind of thing. We had Betamax for movies. I just don't feel that we had that kind of technology.
Yeah, I understand that. Now, after this event happened and the craft left, what was your reaction to this whole thing? Did it intrigue you to dive into the topic more, or was it something that kind of made you stand off and try to more question what you just encountered?
Well, I was astonished and bewildered and amazed, and my curiosity just slammed to the top of my head. I mean, it just raised so many questions about, a lot of things. It's a life-changing thing. You know? It's just something that you have to see. Everything that you didn't think was possible is possible. And this thing went against the laws of physics and gravity. I mean, this thing was dead silent. It, you know, and something that big should not be floating. You know, it's supposed to be impossible, and evidently it's not.
Right, yeah. It makes you question everything that you thought was real, I'm sure.
Right. Oh, yeah. you know, that stuff you've seen in science fiction and comic books, that ain't supposed to be real.
Right. Has anybody else claimed to see that craft that night? Do you know of?
Yes, there was. There was the radio station I had mentioned earlier. I had on the next day. I was going to work, and there was like, it was 12 or 1,400 people had called in and reported this thing.
Wow. Is there any official documentation that you've been able to find of it? Like, was there ever an official report written up about this?
I don't know if there was anything in the papers or anything like that. But I would imagine if you could find out what the radio station that I was listening to, if it's still in existence.
Probably not.
I don't know if they have. Yeah, I wonder if they might have archives. It may be in the newspaper down there, but like I say, I wasn't reading the newspaper then.
Sure.
And I didn't see any sense in, you know, calling and reporting it to anybody. I just figured, you know, it's here, it's gone. There wasn't a lot I could do about it. Nobody would believe it.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, a lot of people say that, actually, that the reason why they don't talk about it is because they don't think anybody would believe them, even if they said anything. And I find that interesting because I'm the very opposite with that. If I were to experience something like that, I probably wouldn't be able to shut up. I'd just be talking about it all the time. And, you know, there's some people that just feel like they don't want to deal with the backlash.
Yeah. I have talked to some people about it. And, you know, you get the comments like you're watching too much Star Trek or what were you drinking, how much do you have to drink, that kind of thing. So I kind of got used to that. But I just felt that it was, it's very important that people know that there's something in the night flying over their daggone houses and they don't even know it's there.
Right. Now, I met you in a Facebook group that was, I believe it was a UFO Facebook group. You know, so
right.
Obviously, I guess your interest in the topic is still at a pretty high level that you're in these groups. Now, do you know through, you know, looking into the topic and everything, do you know if there was a history of UFO sightings in that area?
In Florida here?
Yeah, well, in Florida or that specific area that you were at that night.
Yeah, they seem to, Florida, both coasts seem to have some activity. A lot of it's been in the news. People don't pay much attention to it. And the newscasters, when they report it, they giggle. You know, it's really not, you know, doesn't get much attention.
Right.
But I guess Gulf Breeze, Florida here, I've never been to Gulf Breeze. But I guess it's, what I hear, it's very active.
You know, I heard a story once that, and I don't know how true it is, but that there was some kind of, I don't even know how to describe it, but there was some kind of meeting between our government with, you know, our president and some kind of extraterrestrial life that happened in Florida. And I don't know if you've ever heard anything like that, but I never knew if that story was true or not, but I found it interesting now because Florida does have a lot of UFO sightings, and you got the part of the Bermuda Triangle that touches the tip of Florida, if I'm not mistaken. And the whole idea of the Bermuda Triangle, there's just so much mystery involved in that area. Have you ever heard that story though?
I've heard it. I forget which president it was, Eisenhower or somebody, Roosevelt, somebody like that. Yeah, I was supposed to have had a meeting here. I'm, you know, same place you are with that one. I've read a little bit about it, and you know, I want to know a little bit more about that.
Sure.
I know that I heard what really sounded like our members of Congress making a deal with gray aliens, and that if they were faking it, they had some good ventriloquists mocking these people's voices. But they were making a deal with extraterrestrials, humans for technology, and I think the amount of people was 350,000 that they were allowed to take. So, if true or not, I couldn't answer that. It right. sounds out there, but I can't dismiss it either, not after what I've seen.
Sure. Yeah, now that you say that, we're thinking of the same story because I remember hearing that exact thing. And, you know, whether it's true or not, probably never know. But,
right.
you know, one can speculate when we see how, you know, our government, or not even just the government, but just society in general, is so quick to have you believe a certain thing. You know, it makes you wonder what the truth really is, you know?
It does.
Now, from what I understand, last time we talked, you have had this encounter, but you've also had something else that you wouldn't say was an encounter per se, but it was definitely something strange. Would you like to share that?
Sure, why not?
Awesome.
Okay, all right. Well, I was hitchhiking, ran into some hard times in Florida and north, you know, South Florida. And decided to get out of there and threw a backpack on and a few things I needed and got up the road. And I believe it was somewhere between Ocala and Gainesville on 441. It was an isolated area. There's no stores, no houses, no farmhouses, just nothing out there. Very late. I was very tired. It's getting cold. And we had this damp mist blowing around, and that was making me very wet and cold. And I seen a brook, a little overpass, went over a brook, and I seen some where they had laid in some of these round boulders and gravels, and I seen plenty of deadfall, and I thought, well, I'll just build myself a little fire right there. So I did, and I laid down next to it, and about the time I was ready to pass out, you know, there, and very tired, I heard 6 or 8 of these very hard stalks back in the foliage. And they were hard. These things, whatever it was on 2 feet, and it was just breaking the crap out of some branches. And the last 2 steps was in that brook. I heard it go splash, splash. And these were heavy footsteps. And the water, I could hear it running around the ankles of this thing. So I immediately, of course, jumped up, and out of my curiosity, I went to the edge of the brook and looked back up in them woods, up in that canopy, and I couldn't see anything. I didn't smell anything. Nothing grunted at me. I didn't see any glowing eyes, nothing like that. But whatever that was, it was standing on 2 legs, and it was not a man. And, of course, it scared the devil out of me, and I kicked the fire out real quick and got up the road. It was pretty scary. I didn't want to go. I was tired.
Yeah, I'm sure. When that happened and stuff, you didn't see anything, but did you happen to smell anything? Because I know down in Florida they call it the skunk ape, which, you know, is the Bigfoot down there. Did you happen to smell anything?
No, I didn't. But there, like I say, it was getting windy and we had that fog, so that might have been a situation. Maybe it just wasn't, you know, blowing the odor towards me.
Sure,
but,
sure.
It was really quiet. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't making any noises or throwing any rocks at me or nothing like that. And, you know, I kind of thought, well, maybe that, you know, went to my mind, maybe that was a sheriff, but a sheriff would have just pulled up there and checked it, pulled up there and checked me out right there on the road because I wasn't far from the road. And saying there's no farms out there, so it wouldn't have been a farmer. And our bears here, they don't get that big, and they don't like getting out in the cold anyhow.
Right. Well, that's definitely interesting. I mean, yeah, you can't say what it is, but when you describe certain elements that, you know, it was very big, walking on 2 feet, it kind of starts narrowing down, you know, what your options are as far as what it could actually be.
Yeah, that's right. And I was raised on a farm a better part of my life. Yeah, and I've worked with 1,000-pound hogs and different things, so I know when something steps on the ground what that weight sounds like, you know?
Right.
I do have a sense of that, and this was when it was walking through the woods, the first few steps there, it wasn't just breaking twigs, it was breaking branches.
Hmm. That's really interesting. You know, I run a Bigfoot group, a Pennsylvania Sasquatch Research, and so the whole idea of Bigfoot, Sasquatch, you know, skunk ape, grass man, whatever you want to call it, it totally fascinates me. And so when you tell me that story, you know, my first reaction is I'm trying to figure out what could it be, you know, that's not Sasquatch. But then when you say that you're so sure on how big it is because of, you know, your knowledge of, you know, different native animals to that area, and then on top of it, the fact that you said it was walking on 2 feet, it just kind of, in my mind, it just kind of shrinks down the list to, you know, one or two different things. And
it just makes you wonder. To me, you know, it just points at one thing.
Right.
And like I say, I've heard a lot of encounters like that, but I don't know if you've ever heard, and I guess this has been some time ago, but there's a story about some Indian tribe around the Canada or the Virginias or someplace like that, that these things were supposed to be coming in to their camps, their villages, and stealing small children and running off with them. And these Indians, all got together and went out and started hunting them. And they hunted them until these things decided, you know, as big and scary as they was, they couldn't deal with the Indians and the Indian arrows and things like that, their technology. And it pushed them, they pushed them back up into the hills, basically never to come back down. So that truth, no, I don't know, but it is Indian legend. You know how they don't write stuff down, they pass it through, you know, through the generations, their stories.
Right. Yeah, and I've heard that before. And, you know, one thing that I say a lot is I really think that we as a society don't put enough credit into what ancient people say. I think that we generally think, well, we have computers, we have smartphones, we have all this technology, so we're just smarter than what they were back then. And I don't think that's necessarily true. And I don't think that we should just dismiss what they have to say about what happened, you know, hundreds of years ago. I think that we should possibly sit on it a little bit longer and comprehend and collect our thoughts as to what they're actually saying, because I don't think everything should be just dismissed without really actually thinking about it.
Yeah, and folks describe things differently then because they, you know, their terminologies and things was different, you know.
Sure. Now, let me ask you a question, kind of backtracking a little bit here. So we covered your story where you saw a UFO in great detail. You saw this thing.
And yes, I did.
Now you have this other story where you don't know what it was, but, you know, it's possible that it could be some kind of Sasquatch.
Something.
Now, these two topics, what do you think they are? Let's just start with Bigfoot. What do you think Bigfoot is?
I'm not sure. I've never seen, you know, I've seen photos and different fuzzy. It's kind of like the UFO thing. Everything's fuzzy. But if it is Bigfoot, man, it has humanish features, as they say. I would think that may be something that maybe from the Neanderthal times when Cro-Magnon or Pro-Magnon, if I'm saying that right, basically were killing off the Neanderthal. But they may have gotten backed up. Maybe they ran to the hills and we evolved and these things evolved. So that's about that's my analogy of it, and about as close as I can come to figure out why something like that would exist, you know.
Sure. Now, what do you think UFOs are? Now, that's a very broad question, and feel free to answer it in many different ways if you feel the need to do so. But what do you think UFOs are?
Well, I'm going to have to go with what I've seen. I just don't believe that is our technology. And if there's I like I say, there's no wind, there's nothing like that in this thing. So I didn't get to see who or what was flying it. If anything, we send probes out. We're sending probes out to Pluto. So maybe this is somebody's probe. I don't know. But I don't think it's ours. I'm going to have to kind of go along with, I think it was Stanton Friedman or somebody like that, that said if you gave Columbus a nuclear submarine and an unlimited budget and told him to build another submarine, could he do it? And, of course, the answer to that's no. And I don't believe we've done it either. We may be messing with it. We might have a crack or two, but this was 1982. You know, like I say, we were listening to cassette tapes then. So I just don't believe. I know a lot of folks think we've reversed technology out of Roswell, and we may have, but this wasn't a test vehicle. This was a working craft, proven and tested. And if it was a government thing, you know, our military or whatever, I just don't see why they would be flying it around major cities in the middle of the night. Just makes no sense to me. So I'm leaning real hard. I'm not saying that it's not possible that it couldn't be ours, but I'm kind of leaning towards not.
So my next question would be more of an assessment. I guess then you do believe that, you know, aliens are out there. There's other beings outside of this world that exists.
I believe so. And I believe they've been here for a very long time and possibly maybe involved in some of the governments of, the superpowers.
Yeah, let me ask you about that. You said you think that they've been here for a long time. So you, and I've heard this before, so it's not the first time I've heard that. So you believe that not only do they come and visit this world, but that they actually inhabit this world.
I believe so. I mean, I've seen this thing. It went across the river, and I haven't seen it since. So, you know, I got to ask the question, where did it go?
Sure.
You know, it went somewhere. And another question that's crossed my mind is, like I say, this thing was big. It was like the size of a football stadium. That had to be built and manufactured somewhere. So where would that have been, you know, and what kind of facility would that be?
Right.
That'd be huge.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, if it's the size of a football stadium, I mean, you know, I'm 45 minutes west of Philadelphia and I drive tractor trailer for a living. I do a lot of driving into the city and I pass the Philadelphia Eagles stadium all the time. That place is huge. And so if you saw something flying over your head 100 feet off the ground, that it was even resembling the size of that stadium, there, I can't imagine what the facility looks like that would be housing such a craft, and let alone building one, if it was built here.
It would have to be immense.
Absolutely. Which reminds me, actually, I believe that when we first met, it was on a thread on Facebook because somebody posted pictures about a UFO that they said was coming out of the water. Is that where we met?
Yes.
Do you think that these crafts might be actually in the water? Do you think that that's a possibility where they actually go into the water and that's where they stay when they're not in flight? Because, you know, we inhabit the land, but I believe it's 75% of the earth is covered in water. And they just discovered recently that 90% of the earth's water is actually inside the earth. So do you think that's a possibility?
That's a distinct possibility. I've kind of read up on some stuff like that. And there's ship's captains and, people on fishing boats, you know, commercial fishing boats and things like that have said to see these things coming in and out of the water, in and out of the water. Even Columbus has a report in his log, has a sighting, not a UFO, coming out of the water.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I've never heard that.
It's in his logs. It's his words.
I'm going to have to check up on that. That's really cool. I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Art, do you have anything else you'd like to share?
Well, no, I think that pretty much covered it.
Well, I want to really, you know, let you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing, you know, your UFO encounter and then just your little side story where you think you might have come across a possible Sasquatch. I mean, these stories are great, and I really appreciate you just coming on and being willing to share it with the audience.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Tony. And the reason, actually, that I'm doing this is that I just feel that I know there's a lot of folks out there that are dealing with a lot of fake videos and pics and this and that. And for those people that may not believe that this is going on, I just feel that it is very, very important that they know that this is truth, that this is a real phenomenon, and this is happening. That's to me. I'm 60, almost 64 years old, and this was in 1982. So this was my chance to get that out there, and I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm really glad you came on and shared with us. And if you ever have any other sighting or anything you'd like to share with me, feel free to get a hold of me.
I'll sure do it, Tony.
All right, Art. I'll talk to you later.
All right. You have a good night.
All right. Bye. Well, that's the show, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed it. Art, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. I can't imagine what it's like living over 30 years with that kind of story and never being able to share it on any kind of platform. And I'm really glad that The Confessionals was able to provide that platform. Before we get out of here, I want to give a quick shout out to Tracy Halderman. He sent me a message on Facebook and it said, "I listened to this podcast yesterday and couldn't get enough of it. For the first time since I've been listening to the podcast, I actually listened to it a second time. Great and interesting work." Tracy, I can't tell you how much that means to me. Every week I put into this show trying to make sure it's a show that people want to come back to week after week. And the fact that you listen to one episode twice in a row, that means the world to me, man. I really appreciate it. Well, with that said, I really hope everybody has a great weekend. I hope you have a great week. Here in Pennsylvania, the weather is absolutely beautiful. So tomorrow afternoon, I think I'm going to go up in the mountains, go for a hike, and find me a Bigfoot. I'll see you guys next week.
Seen a light off in the north. And it went from the left to the right at a great speed. Our entire area just lit up very bright, blinding bright. As it came closer, I seen it was a black triangle. I could see the whole underside of it. And it passed very slowly, dead silent. And it was huge. Yeah.
Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Eva Longoria. Tonight's review, sports briefs. Oh boy, where do I even start with these performance mesh boxer briefs? They keep everything in place, even during intense jumping jacks. These boxer briefs are like a magician's trick. You know the one where you go, where did that rabbit come from? So if you're looking for underwear that not only performs well, but also gives your package the attention it deserves, then look no further. 5 stars, Nicolicious. Thank you for listening to Amazon 5-Star Theater. There are endless gifts that can make the male friend in your life feel supported and heroic. Gifts that make them feel like they can conquer jumping jacks and perform impromptu magic tricks. And they're all on Amazon. Shop the perfect gift this holiday season on Amazon.
This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes, boom, boom. These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment.
The audio transmitter also allows for JBL Spatial 360 sound that takes any audio and turns it into a 360 immersive experience.
What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's black bean burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Tis the season for identity theft. This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But guess what? Identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss by yourself, even if you keep an eye on your bank and credit card statements. If your identity is stolen, your own U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. And all plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. The last thing you want to do this holiday season is face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft all alone. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART. Or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.